Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
We saved serious cash with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the money to buy a new boat.
Who's ready to water ski?
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough for a new boat. They'll probably spend it on rent or gas money or maybe one of those little plastic wading pools for the yard.
Ahoy there!
Is what the captain might say on the toy boat in your wading pool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The Home Depot has news that will come as great comfort to your bathroom or bedroom. Right now, you'll find beautiful savings on soft, comfortable bath towels, fresh bed linens, pillows, and cozy comforters. See it all online. Order in minutes. You can even get free delivery right to your door, which is also a pretty nice feeling. Save on select bedding and bath. Get easy online returns. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through July 22nd. Limitations apply.
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This segment's brought to you by ComEd. Sign up for outage alerts at ComEd.com.
Pete Futek.
Great, with a capital G, at the highest level of grade.
Publisher of College Football News.
What is it that makes our military superior? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world.
He hates your favorite team.
Rankings don't matter at the end because they're just going to put Alabama in the college football playoff anyway.
Pete Futek on The Score.
COVID is part of our society. Wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. And there's no expert view right now that I'm aware of or that are, you know, bringing expert views that, you know, sports, you know, is going to make that worse. As part of our society, we're going to have to deal with it.
Stop talking. That was Jim Harbaugh. Just fumbling for any sort of coherent thought. Pete Futek is going to translate for us. He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. He's College Football News. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Your people, Pete, your football people, your football
my
coaches.
People.
Your people.
When you associated with Michigan. That's
when you, but I mean football coaches. You get these guys out of their element.
I'm a football coach.
You get these guys away from their comfort zone of being of blowing whistles and telling guys to do push-ups for them and all that, and they've just got no concept of what to say. What's happening in your world?
Oh, my world is it's not anything different for me than a normal July, except again, people just are in my house and won't leave, and I have a daughter who's doing everything humanly possible to contact with every single person on the North Shore of Chicago. But other than that, I'm all right. But he's Jim Harbaugh. He's he's a sweetie. Just kind of have to say, it's okay, honey. It's all right. Keep moving. You're right. As soon as coaches start talking about anything other than football, it just becomes bad. And his heart's actually in the right place. He's been on the right side of this whole thing from the very beginning. The problem becomes when, like you said, he keeps talking. And, yeah, sports can kind of make things worse if you play them and you have 10,000 people showing up in the, you know, small stadium or 100,000 people in a big one. So they can make things worse, but he's right. He's just saying as long as the things are in place to go, he's going to have his team ready, just to translate what he said. And that's kind of the problem, is the people who should be in charge and should have this don't. And so right now at the moment, everyone's just sort of guessing and flying blind. And, you know, it's up to coaches to decide what the health system should be on this. You got a big problem.
What happened for the Ivy League to make the decision that it did? And is there any effect, is there any canary in the coal mine situation with the Ivy League saying, yeah, we're just not going to do the fall sports?
It's not a plus for major college football, because there's that general thing, okay, it's the Ivy League, they're kind of the smart people in the room, so maybe they've got this. But it's the Ivy League. It is a different animal than an FBS conference. The bigger deal actually is for basketball, because they actually make money playing college basketball. They lose money playing college football. So if the whole idea of, I mean, it's crazy we forget about this, but the whole idea behind this whole sports thing is they're supposed to be fun. And so if you're not going to have fun and you're not making money at it, then what's the point of doing this? Plus they're probably not going to have students on campus at most of these Ivy League schools. So it's, again, not a positive, but their argument is, well, we're not going to have football now. We might not have football in the spring because we have, you know, soccer and field hockey taking up fields and things. I don't think, you know, like Ohio State is going to have a problem playing football in the spring because of the field hockey team needing space for the field. It's just a different animal when it comes to the Ivy League.
North Carolina had 37 positives, and then they shut down their practice. Is there any shared wisdom among these teams? Because we know the NCAA isn't going to lead, and we've got so many of these individual fiefdoms that are making their own policy just almost based on whim. Will anything? I saw that Senator Richard Blumenthal actually came out and said there needs to be some sort of standardized national policy for these decisions. Is that a pipe dream? Is that good? Would you want that, or is it just going to be somebody saying, "Hey, well, they did this, so we do this," and if we do this, maybe they'll do that?
And so this is why I think is what's going to happen, is it's going to be a conference by conference thing, because the two main differences between college sports and the pros right now are, one, the college guys don't have representation. They don't have a players union. They don't have agents. They don't have anybody looking out for their best interest. So the NFL players, if they like it or not, whatever, you've had somebody who's getting paid a lot of money who's looking out to make sure that you're going to potentially be healthy, or at least whatever is collectively bargained. The other side of this thing is you don't have a Roger Goodell. You don't have a Matt Rob Manfred. You don't have anybody at the top who can be that person. Like you said, the NCAA is kind of punting on this because they don't have as much jurisdiction as people think. It's not like they are they can certainly stop things, but they can't necessarily say, hey, go do this like we want you to. So, which is why I think is the next thing that's going to happen is the conferences are going to take over and the conference commissioners are going to take over, because what's happening across the board are so many different things when it comes to colleges. You have the state-by-state basis. You have the red versus blue state ideal. You have SEC states versus Big Ten states versus Pac-12 states. And some schools are fine. Look, Notre Dame just tested all 131 players, and all of them were okay. Indiana tested all their players, and everyone was okay. Michigan tested everyone, and all they found is the two people who had it several weeks ago are the only ones who have it. So it's not like this is every single school. So the other problem is, what do you do during a season when somebody gets it? Is it all shut down? Do you have to shut down the teams they played before? What about the two teams that play after? So I think what's going to happen is, and I'm guessing it's going to start with the Pac-12, they're going to say, look, we don't know what you guys are doing in the rest of the country, but here are our set standards, practices, and guidelines for how we are going to handle this season. We're just going to lock it down. We're going to have an 11-game Pac-12 season and figure it out from there. And I think that's how it's going to go from conference to conference.
The Stanford news was sobering, and I want to say 11 of their non-revenue-generating...
Awesome.
Why? Is it awesome?
I am an anti-non-revenue sportite. It's the easiest argument. I've never heard one of as to why there needs to be non-revenue sports on college campuses. And you know who agrees with me? Stanford. Because they could absolutely afford... They have a $30 billion endowment, the pocket change. They could keep this all going. And you are using this opportunity to say no.
Interesting take. And I think it's different if you have someone in your family who is a competitive rower.
But that's
who is being recruited by Stanford.
Exactly. That's the argument. The only argument is my kid got a scholarship for this. Well, so you got a scholarship for this activity? As someone who has lived their entire life on college campuses and who covered all non-revenue sports and who literally had more people watching me play bubble hockey in the bar than attended most of these sports, really basically what you're saying is, hey, other students, fund my activity. It's not like dance where every student could take a dance class or a drama class or a major. You're talking about set sports because we think this would be kind of cute. It's not high school. It's a college atmosphere. You do not need non-revenue sports. And what happens is everyone thinks they like the idea of them. You cut them. Nobody remembers that they're gone.
Is this going to set an example then? Are there other athletic directors who have been waiting to do this and now under the cover will say, well, you know, if Stanford's going to do it, then you know Texas can do it and UCLA can do it, et cetera.
Yes. And you're never going to get any athletic director to say otherwise, but I guarantee you that budgetary concerns, that it would make life a whole lot easier for them if they could just say, okay, to keep this in the land of the real, look, we're going to keep as many sports as we need to keep the Title IX requirements going, and you know what? We're going to have to just cut and axe everything else, and then you take all the football and basketball, and in some cases women's basketball and volleyball and certain other sports that actually do generate revenue, and say we're keeping those.
Where are you on college baseball in this context?
That's a tough one. Because the other part of this, the argument for some non-revenue sports is who has the donor money that comes in because of this sport? Because you are right. That is part of the thing is like, okay, my kid went to this school because of this, and oh, now I'm going to donate a building because of that. And I believe, I could be wrong on this, I do believe out of the whole Stanford cuts, I think golf stayed because there's a couple guys who went there who were pretty famous golfers and might have helped keep that all going. So I do think in terms of baseball, that probably stays. But again, you're still going to have it. The budgetary side of this thing is going to be how do you have all these different scholarships for all these men's sports? Because when you have all baseball, that also means you're going to have to find more women's scholarship sports to keep around as well. And that's going to be a tough thing to justify budget-wise. And look, I think the numbers were something like Stanford was going to lose, no matter what, like $25 million in their athletic department this year. And I think it was something like $70 million pre-COVID over the next 3 years they were projecting. So it's a loss for the university. And it just, my argument's been, okay, yeah, your kid got a scholarship to go, I'll use your example for rowing, because that's what I did, so I can yell that for people by that. But why not give those scholarships to normal students? Or just open up those slots to other kids who are going to pay full tuition, which at the immediate moment, as we're finding, as kids are now who weren't able to get into certain schools can now pretty much get in anywhere, paying full tuition is a very big deal for universities.
When do we get the results of the internal Iowa study as to if their program was racist enough to fire their coach?
Yeah, I think this is about it. I think they did what they were going to do. There's so many different political parts of this. They got rid of the strength and conditioning coach. The thing about a Kirk Ferentz, and it's more of a, I don't mean to make excuses or anything. It really is more of a class system problem than it is necessarily a hardcore racism problem. Think about the situation when you've got something like Iowa, and I talked to a slew of people who are inside the program. It's hard, and it's an insensitivity thing that going forward, coaches are going to have to get this. It's been a problem with college football, particularly for forever. And you know who does a really good job of kind of showing that are these any 30 for 30 on college football, where, you know, they, like the Colorado one, where Bill McCartney built it up. He built it up on guys from the inner city of Houston and South Central Los Angeles. And I don't know if you remember, in the early 90s, there were all these problems because the police just kept bothering these guys, and they were true fish out of water. And it's hard for them. It's hard for anybody to go to college, much less if you're like a kid from Miami who, you know, you've probably never seen snow, never seen farmland, and your scholarship offers were Florida International, USF, and Iowa. Like, well, great. I'm going to go to Iowa. This is amazing. I'm going to try this. And it's just a it's just a new thing for these guys. And these coaches have got to figure out faster that it's hard. It's hard for any college student, much less guys who are completely out of their element for the first time, and they're 18 years old, and they've never really been yelled at before because they're superstar athletes in high school. And they're going to have to figure out faster that you just can't say, well, we've gone, you know, 8-4 for the last 30 years, so this is our system works. They're going to have to adapt in a real hurry, and that's where Iowa is really going to have to kick this in.
What is the effect of pandemic response by coaches on recruiting, either positively or negatively right now? Because I'm thinking like a parent that if this, again, even if you're doing this remotely, and because I use the phrase, you know, at the kitchen table, if you're remotely at the kitchen table saying, come play for me, there's a new list of questions. The new list of questions. How do I know that my kid might be safer with you, that maybe you care more about my son's safety than a different coach does, that this is now an aspect of recruiting that's got to matter?
Absolutely. And every coach is going to have his pitch. It's going to come down to the institutional side of this, is which school seems to have the best plan that parents and kids will buy. Because the idea of, you know, going in, well, every coach is going to say, I'm going to take care of your kid, I'm going to make sure he's safe. Well, yeah, but that's fine. But are you going to let my kid go to that house party 10 minutes after he gets on campus, and then all of a sudden he doesn't have it? I have said from the start throughout this entire thing, starting from mid-March, I think when I came in the studio and, you know, we were talking and everything, and just the only way this is going to fly with college football is you have to test them and isolate them for the entire season. Because the second you let them out, then they're going to have to go to class. They're going to have to circulate with the rest of the student population, if there is a student population on campuses. And then we have one outbreak, and then it's totally messed up. So the other part of this thing, too, is you can't sell the idea of, well, your kid's 18 to 22. If he gets it, he'll be fine. He's not going to die or anything. No one wants to hear that. You know, no one knows the long-term ramifications. No one wants their kid to get this. So it's going to have to be a really a school-by-school thing. And right now the schools are guessing, the conferences are guessing, because everybody's guessing about the best practices to do this. And going back to Harbaugh, it's not like, you know, all he can kind of say is, look, I'm going to make sure your kid doesn't leave his dorm room for the next 4 years. I mean, that's about all he can say to maybe assure somebody that your kid's going to be okay.
Lastly, I want to double back on your point about the relative powerlessness of the NCAA and the increased power of the conference presidents. Is this another case of the pandemic accelerating, intensifying, illuminating something that already existed? It's a theme of mine on so many levels of society, of law, of human behavior, that these things aren't new, but the pandemic and how we deal with it is accelerating, illuminating, and intensifying the strength of the conferences and the relative weakness of the NCAA, maybe getting us closer to a time when we're just more honest about who's in power.
Yeah, and that's where this is going to be interesting, because, again, I think this is going to be on a state-by-state, conference-by-conference basis, because, you know, who's blowing up right now? Texas, Arizona, the SEC states. But the Big Ten is, you know, despite what happened to Ohio State yesterday, Big Ten states have been relatively okay. You know, some of these states, you know, most of the northeastern states are relatively okay, and most of the Pac-12 outside of Arizona is relatively okay. And so the thing that's going to be a problem for the NCAA is if the conferences say, look, we're just going to have our own practices right now, NCAA, don't worry about it, we'll take the liability on our shoulders and let us handle it from here. And then the problem, like you're alluding to, is going forward, maybe the Pac-12 or the SEC says, you know what, we're kind of making more money doing things this way because we can kind of renegotiate our own contract. SEC fans only want to see SEC games anyway. And you know what? It's kind of a great from the competitive standpoint to have an all 11-game Pac-12 season because everyone's going to want to watch every game. So there is a fear in this for the NCAA itself. But what the NCAA can do still, and this is where we go going back to Stanford, the non-revenue sports side of things, that's where the NCAA really has more control than the conferences do. And they're not going to want to see all these other sports go away because that's kind of the thing is when it comes to insurance and oversight and the liability aspect, non-revenue sports is where the NCAA really sort of shines. And if you don't have those, then that lessens their importance even more.
Pete Futak, always great. Continued good health, man.
Anytime. I'll talk to you later.
That is Pete Futak. College football news. Cool guest coming up. Former Cubs outfielder Brett Jackson. And you think, well, why would you have former Cubs outfielder Brett Jackson on? Well, there's a reason, and it has to do with what we mentioned earlier in the show about a new company that is going to be installing equipment at Wrigley Field. It's a company called Weather Applied Metrics, and their contract with Marquee Sports Network to be showing weather effects on the flight of balls using modeling, using fluid dynamics. And Brett Jackson is actually the director of operations of this company. He and his dad got it off the ground in the first place. So the director of operations for Weather Applied Metrics and former Cubs outfielder Brett Jackson is going to tell us all about it next on The Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute.
Raheem Mostert was amazing in the Niners' run to the Super Bowl. He set a franchise record with more than 200 yards on the ground against the Packers in the NFC title game. And this is a franchise that has had Roger Craig, Ricky Waters, and Frank Gore. He went bonkers after Week 12, thrust himself into the starting back position and not just a backup spot and a special teams guy. But now he wants to be paid, and the Niners aren't coughing up the cash. He wants to be traded. Here's the rub. Mostert doesn't have any leverage. You have to do it for more than nine games to make anybody believe that that's the real Raheem Mostert. And every NFL team believes there's another Raheem Mostert at the back end of their roster. Backs usually don't get the cash unless they're super duper stars, and neither will he. This is Damon Amendolara.
Have you Napa know how?
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
If you're in the market for windows, you need to call Russ Armstrong. He is the owner of Chicago Window Guys, and they make and install all their own products and offer a lifetime warranty on all parts and labor. I had a bunch of windows done, and it's hard for me. I don't know anything about windows, and Russ is giving me all this information about windows, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I just good windows better than these. He's like, oh, yeah, these kind of suck. I'm going to give you much better windows. I'm going to custom make them. I'm going to put them in. Here's what's going to happen. And his people did all the installation. There's no subcontracted labor, and everything's great. They're awesome windows. It's the process was easy. You also will get the best price and deal directly with the owner. So call the Chicago Window Guys today, 847-881-3060. And if you mention my name when you call, you get 10% off. Don't forget to do that, 847-881-3060. And check out Russ's reviews at chicagowindowguy.com.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Does someone in your family have a drug or alcohol problem? Can you see what it's doing to you? If you're hurting and confused about drug or alcohol abuse and its effects on your family, let Families Anonymous help you. Families Anonymous offers direct help to family and friends of addicts through personal sharing. Meetings are free, not associated with any religion, and totally anonymous. For the meeting nearest you or more information, call 800-736-9805 or go to familiesanonymous.org.
Ride, run, or walk in the American Diabetes Association's Chicagoland Tour de Cure on Sunday, August 2nd, virtually. Choose how you want to participate. Create a team, recruit your friends, and help raise funds and awareness for those living with diabetes in Illinois. Register today at diabetes.org/Chicago Tour and join the fight for life. Thank you to our sponsors, Monaco Mechanical, Gvoke, Novo Nordisk, Dexcom, Griffith Foods, Meijer, and Nicor Gas for helping in this fight.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Chicago Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy on his experience having COVID-19.
I got crushed and, did have to go to the hospital for a little bit of time to get checked up and do all the breathing treatments. And to be honest with you, just so people understand, it took me 30 days to test negative. 30 days. And going into a baseball season and understanding in a 60-game season what 30 days means, I mean, if it had it happened to me now, and I had the same effects and the same reaction to the virus, I would probably have missed the majority of the season.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This isn't a grilled cheese I'm making. It's a melty masterpiece that deserves a kitchen worthy of greatness.
Looks like my porch is full of packages again. It also looks like my compulsive buying needs to change to compulsive saving.
As I sit here on this couch, I decided to make some changes, starting with this couch.
I'd love to be looking out my window at a beautiful backyard instead of a brick wall. Time for a new house.
Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
Well, one thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And you heard Jed Hoyer around this time a couple of days ago talking about Wrigley Field and how we always talk about how Wrigley Field can be several different ballparks because of prevailing winds and because of how it plays when the wind's blowing in and how it plays in April as opposed to how it plays in the middle of the summer. And he said some of the issues and the inconsistencies that we have with the various baseballs that MLB has been using may be mitigated by the fact that it's just 60 games and it's just going to be, for the most part, in what used to be the dog days of summer. Well, now we're going to know a lot more about how the ball flies at Wrigley Field. And that is because of Weather Applied Metrics and their contract with Marquee Sports Network to show us graphics using fluid dynamics computer modeling to learn about these air currents and how things are flying through the air. This is so cool. And it's fascinating that the director of operations for Weather Applied Metrics is former Cubs outfielder Brett Jackson, who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Brett?
Hey, Dan. Great to connect with you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. But this is such a fascinating idea. And I'm just curious, how did you and your dad get this whole thing started?
Well, you know, I owed Jed Hoyer for a few years back. And, I you know, it's funny. Maybe this is the way I finally help out the Cubs. So the idea kind of came up with my old man and several science geeks that are all weather experts, and they got together, and here we are a few years later doing something pretty special, changing the trajectory of the game and other games, applying this real-time weather data.
Now, if in fact this is being used for broadcast, are the Cubs also going to get proprietary information that they can use competitively, or why are they open sourcing this rather than siloing it?
Yeah, so really there's a couple applications with the technology. So I'll start with the story. So, you know, this is something you can relate to. My entire career I was taught to read the flags, right? You're taught to read the flags, and actually in Chicago, known for the wind, we'd actually do this drill in Chicago at Wrigley with Dave McKay when I was there. We'd take a pitching machine, we'd gear it up as fast as it would go. We'd fire a ball hundreds of feet in the air, and professional outfielders would look like idiots trying to catch balls. You know, it turned into this game, but we'd be trying to read the flags. And really, the moral of the story is flags misrepresent what's actually going on in the stadium. There's so much more turbulence in a stadium than you may realize. So what really attracted me initially to this idea was, holy crap, the wind isn't just blowing straight out the center field when the flags show that it is. So the multiple applications are, yes, there's this in-game use where as the manager of a team, we can look at this and position the outfield, the fielders accordingly. And that can turn into a huge strategy in the game. It can turn into a strategy with how you pitch certain players. And then the second application is in the entertainment value, you know, showing that a guy hits the crap out of a ball to right field, but it doesn't go anywhere. Why doesn't it go anywhere? Or alternatively, you pop a ball up to left center and it flies out of the stadium, which I may have gotten away with once or twice myself. So, and then there's actually, in my opinion, a third potential application, and possibly the most valuable, which is how we can potentially take this data and look at how player statistics will be affected over the course of a season and in different home stadiums.
I was thinking about that too, because of the understanding of launch angle and because of the increased awareness across baseball that you have six guys in this tiny little area and then you have three guys in that big green area. You're much better off hitting it to the big green area and maybe hitting it over the fence. That this is a fly ball game now. So it matters more than ever, just considering the percentage of balls that everybody's trying to hit in the air.
And hey, that could change your approach as an offense stepping into the game to think about, hey, you know, this is a game where the ball is really flying out to a certain field or really isn't. And as an offense, thinking about changing our approach at the plate is certainly a way that this technology is going to be used and is being used. So certainly, yeah. So by combining our data with the StatCast data, as you mentioned, launch angle, exit velocity, ball spin, et cetera, we're able to show where the ball went and then where it would have gone if it hadn't been for the weather. And so as a spectator or as a player, we're able to see and make adjustments and input our reflection on the occurrence, the outcome, you know, what really happened and how the weather really affected the in-game play.
We're talking with former Cubs outfielder Brett Jackson, who's also the director of operations for Weather Applied Metrics. That's going to be bringing some new machines to Wrigley Field. Did you design the software yourself? I mean, did you write all this, or did you license some of it from existing programs? And when you put it together, how is it going to look as we're watching Marquee? What is the actual final product going to be that we will see?
Gosh, if only I were that cool, Dan. No, this is years of expertise. We're talking computational fluid dynamics. This is stuff used in serious in aerodynamics for the flight of airplanes and rockets. This is way over my pay grade. I am no rocket scientist, and we have some really special engineers that have put this together and are able to essentially create models of stadiums, input the data of the weather into these models, and then input real time data from StatCast and in game play to show what's going on. So again, yes, no, I'm not the man behind this magic, but what you will see is really going to be what I believe to be a true enhancer of the spectator experience, to show what's going on. And this is applicable across multiple sports to show, like, hey, how did this home run get out of the park so quickly? Or how did the golf ball hit from the third hole end up in the trap when it, you know, the golfer thought it, you know, it's going to fly 100 feet further. We're going to see really cool in-game graphics showing, you know, where the ball would have gone if not for the weather, and where the ball ended up because of the weather.
I can't wait to find out the unintended consequences of this, of something that gets seen or learned. And it may not be from the Cubs experiment. It may be from the unnamed team that is doing the proprietary investigations, because the AP writer in the story brought up a couple other sports, is in auto racing, which looks nothing like it used to look because of, like you say, now everybody fine tuning these cars is above everyone's pay grade. I mean, people are coming out of MIT and working for NASCAR. And what happened in competitive sailing, where I remember the America's Cup, where the Kiwis showed up with a keel design that everybody thought was illegal, and they just had a better boat that was faster because of what they figured out using fluid dynamics. And now it's unrecognizable. Now, I mean, what looks like something out of the 1800s now are these space age catamarans that are just slipping through the water. I'm wondering if maybe there's a little Pandora's box thing here. If maybe they're saying, wait a second, there's a brand new design of bat that they can see, that a bat with this particular kind of shape or composition is moving through the air more efficiently. Who knows?
It's definitely exciting, and it's definitely borders on rocket science. You know, our team are formerly NASA employees and professors, and you know, it's taking sport to this kind of sci-fi level. I don't know how it's going to change the equipment used in baseball and how soon that is even something we can consider, but it does change how we approach the game in real time. And you know, whereas before we looked at a game like, hey, the wind's blowing out to right today, we now can look at how it's moving between pitches. Mm. And I think your example of America's Cup is a great example, where they were looking at what was going on with their ship using computational fluid dynamics. We can also look at what's going on with the weather in real time when they're on the water. So, yeah, it's certainly an exciting time, and certainly going to change the trajectory of a lot of sports.
Just as an aside, is there also a component of heat and a density of air and humidity in this as well? Because we have heard, I've read studies that have talked about the differences in that it makes in ball flight depending on humidity and air density.
Yeah, so the weather sensors that we install measure for all weather data, which includes humidity, density, air moisture, and of course, wind, temperature, and all these things affect the flight of an object through air. So we set up sensors. The sensors collect the data. Combining that data with the StatCast data, we're able to tell with incredible precision how much the ball is affected by all aspects of weather.
And baseball has a very famous weather nerd who also may be the best player to ever step on a field. I wonder, Mike Trout would love this. He would totally geek out on something like this. So maybe this is the avenue for Mike Trout eventually becoming a Cub.
Yeah, maybe we'll just have to steal him from the game and bring him on the team for us. I need to get a hold of Mike. I haven't seen him in a while, and I had the pleasure of playing with him on Team USA back in 2010. I don't think he was thinking about the weather back then, but he's certainly come a long way.
Brett, good luck with this, and it was nice touching base once again, and I'm sure we'll see you around the ballpark some.
Yeah, I look forward to that, Dan. Really appreciate you having me on the show, and go Cubs.
That is Brett Jackson, former Cub outfielder turned weather expert, business owner, engineer. That's just cool. One of those little things out of nowhere that I can't wait to see that on the marquee broadcast of how they work that all in. We're going to say hello to Lawrence Holmes and do some old-fashioned score transition with him coming up next on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This segment is brought to you by Northern Illinois Food Bank.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski, and sports are coming back, and I am very, very excited to be watching real live sports again. Finally. This time, I'm going to be betting all of the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. I tried the app the other day, bet on a soccer match, and won. Couldn't have been easier to use the app. That's why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook app. They have more ways to win, too. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, overs-unders, props, and in-game bets in a very easy-to-use app. And unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel accepts most major payment options. And when you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours. That's a game changer, all through FanDuel's safe and secure process. By combining your sportsbook account and your fantasy account, by the way, you can use your winnings across both products. So you win your fantasy football match, plug it into the sportsbook, you're good to go, you've got money to gamble with. So check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available ever. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, user rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Chicago is strong, always has been. In the midst of crisis, we come together to work, fight, contribute, and to show gratitude to the real heroes of this story. Stay strong and bear down.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Chicago Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hottovy on his experience having COVID-19.
I got crushed and, did have to go to the hospital for a little bit of time to get checked up and do all the breathing treatments. And to be honest with you, just so people understand, it took me 30 days to test negative. 30 days. And going into a baseball season and understanding in a 60-game season what 30 days means, I mean, if it hadn't happened to me now, and I had the same effects and the same reaction to the virus, I would probably have missed the majority of the season.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I think that's part of the reason why our protocols are so strict. It's part of the reason why you see guys on TV wearing masks on the field outside when they're not within 20 feet of people, because they are. They do. They want to set an example. I can say just for me personally, when I was in Arizona and there was a limited number of cases out there, it definitely didn't feel the same as it feels now. I didn't feel as responsible. I didn't feel like I needed to be as meticulous with everything I'm doing and being back, being with the team, looking through the protocols, and then just looking at your teammates' faces and kind of thinking through, this guy's going to be a free agent next year. This guy has arbitration. This guy has someone at home who cannot get this disease. You think through the consequences of your actions with everybody else. And if that doesn't make you responsible and accountable to doing the right thing, to wearing your mask, to being really disciplined away from the field, then you're definitely not a good teammate.
We should all be good teammates. And that's sort of the conclusion I came to in trying to reconcile and maybe rationalize the return of professional sports to our world as all this is raging around us, that maybe it's the example that we haven't gotten, and the example that some people still need is what it means to be tough and what it means to be disciplined, what it means to care about others, to be a good teammate. We can all be better teammates, and just practicing what we should in these times makes us good teammates. And it takes this idea of winning a championship, some arbitrary trophy, to be on the same page and to sacrifice and to be, as he put it, a good teammate. That was Ian Happ on his regular Thursday appearance here on this show. Lawrence Holmes is coming up with his show in just a few minutes, but he's going to join us now. We've got an old-fashioned score transition at the moment. He is on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes, and he is on from noon to 2, Monday through Friday. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, Dan. How about yourself?
Still okay enough amid all of this. I have my moments, as we all do. Those of us who spend time on social media can have wild swings in our mood just based on the next thing that we see and where our mind goes with it. So, yeah, at the moment, generally while I'm doing the show and immediately after the show, I feel great. It's like some of the best time of my day for whatever reason, because it's free therapy, I guess.
But yeah, the endorphins are probably popping off too, and if you feel like you've done a good show, yeah, you can walk away and feel like, oh, all right, I accomplished something today. Like, when stuff goes right, it feels great.
I don't know, I've done that in 25 years, so we'll still wait for a first. But you've been sounding terrific, and I know dealing with a lot of really important things and going in some different directions. But I guess I needed something like this. I needed something like this idea of an example being set to make me feel better about sort of forcing sports back as selfishly as maybe we have.
It's funny. It's one of the things I want to talk about today is the restart in basketball. And I've been watching a lot of stuff. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed last night watching MLS and watching that tournament, although it did feel like there were a lot of randoms that were around the pitch while I was watching the match last night. And I'm watching Premier League now, like, it's on my screen, and I'll do that, and I'll probably watch the basketball tournament when it comes on. But I like what you said about the concept of being disciplined. And you keep wondering if it's a carrot or stick type thing with us. If the carrot of, well, don't you want sports back? Here's what we need to do to get sports back. Or the stick of, well, here's what the virus does to everyone. It seems like the stick method hasn't really worked. Maybe the carrot will. But even in that, you've seen the coaches in the SEC be like, hey, don't you want football back? Don't you keep talking about how much you want football back? Well, here are some ways that you can help us get football back, and people still seem to be unwilling. It's a small thing, but let me ask you this, Dan Bernstein. Why are we not seeing those players? Like, I see players, like, trying to figure out, like, how much of a mask they want to wear, like, that sort of thing. Why aren't they wearing gaiters? Like, they wear gaiters during cold weather, and there are definitely, I wear one when I ride my bike. There are lightweight gaiters that one could wear. I saw Tim Anderson kind of fiddling around with his mask when he was in the cage, and I'm like, why aren't they all just wearing what they would wear on a cold weather day? Like, it's just an easier thing to maneuver with than an over-the-ear mask. It was a small observation, and I'm like, why aren't they doing that?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's too hot? I don't know. That's a really good question, because you would think
But you wear a gator in the desert. That's the whole point of it. Like, the whole idea is, like, protect your neck. Shout out to Wu-Tang Clan. Like, the whole point is to keep the sun off of you and to keep you cool. I know that, is it Dwayne Wade? I think Dwayne Wade and Serena Williams have a version of it that's actually like a cooling one. It just seems like the easiest thing for a baseball player to wear would be a gator mask.
I guess you're absolutely right. That's the first I thought of it, because you're right. When it gets cold, it's the first thing that they go to, and they pull it up over their nose. And you would think that if they wanted to come up with something of the based on specific breathability or getting to, like, you know, N95 surgical, whatever the size of particle that could be allowed through, they could start manufacturing those in mass, and MLB could put in an order for it in 2 seconds and have them all out there in team colors and team logos.
But Dan, they already do. If you go look on, like, MLB shop, I was looking, the whole reason that I brought it up is, like, why isn't Tim Anderson wearing a White Sox gator? Because you can easily get them. I mean, they have them already. So I'm just a little bit, I'm like, this is a technology that already exists in baseball. So why are they not using the tech that they already have?
I just think it's good that they're setting the example when Mike Trout's wearing a mask and he's out there, you know, making a hard turn at first base after smashing a ball over the shortstop's head. That I want more of that video out there. We have to show people. People have to see it with their own eyes what it actually means to be tough and to be a good teammate, to be a good citizen in this regard. If they can do it, if Mike Trout, if the best baseball player who ever lived, isn't inconvenienced by doing this as he's playing, as he's working, you can wear one into Walgreens.
Yeah, and what Ian Happ said about, you know, the healthiest team and wanting to take care of each other and each other's families, that's been echoed by a bunch of those guys, whether it's Jason Hayward or Chris Bryant or Dave Ross, and I hope that it works out that way. It seems that the gravity of the situation has not been lost on the Cubs, that they are sharing this information inside their clubhouse and inside their team to try to not just win the championship because they're the healthiest. That's a byproduct of if they get it done right. But to take care of each other, you have guys in that clubhouse that are pregnant, or, well, not the guys, but their wives that are pregnant. You have guys that just had kids. You have people that are trying to take care of their parents. So I'm glad to see that they're taking it as seriously as they are, even with some of the real, I think, damaging delays in testing that MLB has had.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. It's criminal, because you have obviated the test with that kind of delay. You've wasted the test, and you've wasted the time. And as I was following sort of what Andy Slavitt was reporting yesterday on Twitter, is that we're getting close to another testing capacity crisis, not to mention a personal protective equipment crisis, and the questions that sports may be facing as to are they keeping regular people from being healthy by forcing sports back? And every day the calculation changes.
Well, one of the things that I want to talk about on the show today is while I was sitting watching soccer last night, I kept thinking to myself, and I know that it's way more complicated than the question that I'm going to ask. I understand that because of the amount of money, because of television contracts. I just think that the NBA would have been better served to end the regular season and just have a tournament. If you want to make it what do they call it? Have a loser's bracket too, so a team could lose a game and then find their way back in the championship and then maybe play a championship series at the end. I can't imagine that if they did an NCAA tournament style tournament, that the revenue that they would generate would still be there. And I think it would be easier to control because teams are going to lose, and when they lose, they're going to leave. It'd be easier to control the bubble for a shorter period of time than this endeavor that they're trying to go on until the middle of fall. I have a lot of doubts that they can pull it off. I hope that I'm wrong. And I saw on Get Up, you know, I'm friends with Malika Andrews, and she's been down there for a little over a week. And she was explaining, like, everything that goes into her getting in there. I think that a lot of the protocols that NBA is doing are great. They had her basically quarantine in her room for 7 days because she traveled in with a commercial flight instead of a private flight. She was getting her meals on time every day at like 8, noon, and 6 o'clock.
They didn't look very good. The pictures that she was tweeting of her meals did not look particularly appetizing.
No, and that's part of the thing. Like, if you can make it so that you're taking care of less people for a shorter period of time, I think that it has a chance to be successful. The idea of playing these series, and I don't know if it'll work out for the NHL any better, but the idea of playing these series, it just seems like it's going to be dangerous. And I wish that they would have kind of said, look, we're going to do something completely different because we're in a completely different time. The regular season is over. Here are your division winners. We're going to play for the championship, but it's going to be different. This isn't going to happen every year. This is happening specifically for now. And we would all be in front of you're telling me if LeBron's got one chance at this or two chances at this, that we aren't going to see the best version of LeBron? I don't know. I want to get into that a little bit on today's show to talk Good. About it.
Good. I know you've got Anthony Herron and Andy Behrens are set to join you as well. We'll be listening, Lawrence. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Lawrence Holmes among our guests today that included Sahadev Sharma and Pete Futek and Ian Happ and Brett Jackson. That was really cool to have. You know, that we got that news this morning, and great job by our executive producer, Jay Zawoski, just turning that right around and popping them on so we can learn more about all this cool science that's going on. I wonder if they're going to fly drones over. I should have asked that, darn it. Because you'd think that they could use drone technology like in between innings and stuff to gather all this cool weather data, or maybe balloons and blimps and all of it. Like I said, you can geek out on some of this stuff, as Brett Jackson and friends certainly have. Thanks to Ray Diaz. Thanks to you for hanging out. Man, it's Friday already tomorrow. Wow. How'd that happen? I don't know, it just keeps happening. We keep ending up on Fridays, and that's where we are. We'll rack up another show for you. We'll figure out what's going on, and we'll talk about absolutely all of it. I am looking forward to talking to you again at 9 o'clock. Keep doing what you're doing. Let's keep crushing the curve and keep earning the right to get back to a more open and normalized life like some other parts of the country aren't doing. So wash your hands and stay distant and mask up and listen to doctors and listen to people who listen to doctors. Listen to Lawrence Holmes next, and me again at 9 tomorrow morning. Bye.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
You had to shut down summer camp for the Nationals because you aren't getting the results back from Utah fast enough to let people know whether or not their test came back positive. But if you're not turning the test around fast enough, the test itself almost does you no good.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
My Brooklyn and Sheets are awesome. And the thing is, I understand the value of Brooklyn and Sheets because the sheets that these Brooklinens replaced were not as good, and they were way more expensive when we decided we had to go get luxury sheets to sleep better. And Brooklyn wasn't around then, but now they are. And what they've done is, because of the experience of their founders, Vicky and Rich, they stayed at this luxury resort and they loved the sheets. And they said, we should get these for our bed at home. And then they started making phone calls and they got all the information situation. And by the time that they got through all the difficulty and the red tape and the expense, they were motivated by all that to start their own company that took all the difficulty out of it. And they went to the manufacturer and they said, well, what if we just made it easier to connect you with the people actually buying them? And that's what became Brooklinen. They work directly with the manufacturers, directly with the customers. They've cut out all the BS. They've cut out the boutiques and the department stores and you having to learn about some magical Egyptian cotton from some faraway land. Forget all that. All you need to know is brooklinen.com. And you can get all different kinds, all different colors. Just go there and check it out and get what you need. And you can do so and get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code SCORE at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen sheets are the perfect place to start making your mornings great. And Brooklinen is so confident in their stuff that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. It's 10% off your first order and free shipping with the promo code SCORE only at brooklinen.com. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. Plus, we're including four amazing iPhone 11s on us when you trade in iPhone 6s or newer in any condition. Visit Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $29.17 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Requires new account. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming speed.